Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Aaron Rodgers looking for Devontae Adams. He's got it! DJ Moore has a pass to the end zone. Jonathan Taylor, touchdown.
Hello everyone, welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, and my co-host as always is Sean Siegel. We are going to talk about all things week 12 of the NFL season. We're going to look ahead to how that's going to affect the rest of this season, and of course the Fantasy Football Championships for anyone over at the FFPC that will be kicking off this week in week 13. Some people's league formats will be slightly differing to that. I know in a couple of my leagues, I still have 3 or 4 weeks left to make those runs to the playoffs. So depending on what format, but of course the stuff we talk about and the players we discuss is always from kind of the short, medium, and long-term outlook. So lots to cover on today's show, Sean. I know listeners at times probably don't want to hear about our teams, but everyone likes to talk about stories of how things go from a positive and a negative perspective. For the listeners, we did end up going ahead and finishing top of our league in the main event in terms of total record. And strange week 12, Sean. We went into the week leading on points. We thought points was the way we were going to get. We discussed it last week. We thought there's not really many possibilities where we'll finish first on record. It turned out that we got knocked off first in points and we ended up finishing first in record. So a lot of things changed in there. We could have ended up with no firsts in either, which would have been severely disappointing. And it was one of our lower scoring weeks, so we did have quite a large portion of luck to actually get a win this week, to end up getting into that wins predicament that we did. So that was good. Looking forward to the playoffs now and into the main tournament then after that. I had a couple of leagues this week, Sean, and we had, obviously, we talked about our kind of true, I guess, or extreme zero RB team that we were hoping was going to just kind of scrape its way in, but missing out this week on Travis Kelce did hurt us, and we just didn't get over the line in the end, up got caught towards the end. And I had one other team where I had picked and looked at the points last week, and I was like, there's kind of like three teams in the running that could catch me. I was in the last playoff spot on points. Interestingly enough, though, the team who was below that, who I hadn't really accounted for, didn't really pay attention to all weekend, finished with 190 points and bet me out by, I think it was 8 points in the end up. So a real dark horse came in and caused me the disappointment there. But these things happen. We take the rough with the smooth, I guess. But interesting week, Sean. Didn't go in terms of win losses and points scored. Win losses actually probably went better for me than points scored this week. Lots of low-scoring teams, lots of single players having good performances, but we'll talk about it on today's show. But the two kind of big performances of the week were Leonard Fournette and Joe Mixon, and obviously we've talked about the Bengals offense. How we attacked that this year was through the wide receivers and the quarterback. So each one of those four Joe Mixon touchdowns causing an extra little bit of pain for us, I guess. And the terms of a rampage team that didn't make the playoffs that I mentioned there, the true zero RB team, I think if we could roll that back and T. Higgins gets in there, that was a T. Higgins team with Joe Burrow at quarterback. I think we might have managed to just stay in there. So missing out there, but a good week all around. We make the playoffs in a few scenarios, but how did the week play out for you?
Well, it was a rough week, right? Because
I was trying to play it down. It was a rough week, yeah.
It's not just getting in. I mean, getting in is the first step, but we have so many teams that are so perfectly positioned going into this week. And the two highest rostered players that I have are DeAndre Swift and Deebo Samuel. And these were two of the biggest league winners going into week 12. Samuel obviously has another nice game in week 12, but exits at the very end. Colin, these teams look a lot different without Swift and Samuel. And that's all part of it, right? When we go back and, you know, you look through different things, you've got to be able to win when you have some injuries. And, you know, I kind of marvel at the good fortune of some of the things that have happened in the past. The team that I had that won the NFFC primetime lost Julio Jones in week 5 and lost Rob Gronkowski really when he was at his very height, when he was really worthy of basically a first round pick, you know, early in the first week of the 3-week playoff run. And so you're like, you know, how can you be competitive without those guys? Well, you have to have a lot of players. Now, I don't think that necessarily any of our teams, I don't think that the season has kind of developed this year exactly in a way where you're likely to have as much depth as that team had to still have so many high scoring players. And, you know, it just comes back to the fact that, I mean, you're definitely not going to have as high a ceiling without Swift, without Samuel. The thing that we have to hope, I mean, you basically hope to get pretty lucky, right? In the semifinals and the fantasy finals, you know, somehow win those, even though you're playing against other good teams. I mean, it's not impossible that those teams will have bad luck, you know, in the playoffs. Or you sneak through, maybe somehow you win your league. And then it doesn't look impossible at this point that Samuel and Swift will be back for the 15, 16, 17. And then suddenly maybe, you know, you have that upside again. One of the things that we do know, however, is that when players come back from injury, it can take a while before they're the same guy. We saw another low scoring week this week from Saquon Barkley. We've got a lot of teams with him where he's obviously not carrying those teams yet. We don't know if he ever will this season. Colin, it's also been just kind of a crazy year in terms of the injuries. We talk about this happening kind of every year. It does feel surprising in some ways when it happens as dramatically as it has done this year. We do have some guys like a Jonathan Taylor, like an Austin Ekeler, like a Joe Mixon, who are playing very, very well from that kind of late first to mid-late second round range at running back. But when you look at Christian McCaffrey, when you look at Alvin Kamara, when you look at Dalvin Cook, obviously Derrick Henry having the amazing season and then is out. And you know, you look at now at the situation with Ezekiel Elliott, where the Cowboys are definitely going back and forth in the media about what they plan to do with him. But we have a situation that has a lot of parallels to the 2015 running back apocalypse, right? And especially when you think about Devontae Freeman coming through that season and being the RB1, you know, not completely out of nowhere. I mean, he's drafted in that 7-8 round range. But then you look at this year with where we are now. I mean, a 40-point performance changes your full season outlook in terms of where you are scoring-wise. When you look at where Fournette is now, when you look at where Patterson is, when you look at where Elijah Mitchell is, even having missed some of those games, and then you look at where James Conner is. I mean, James Conner is an RB1 on the season. And, I mean, this is the running back apocalypse all over again. And so, you know, we're seeing these guys just continue to get hit. We had guys who were interesting like Cam Akers and Travis Etienne go out before the season even starts. Now we have the other kind of big second-year star in Swift going out with a shoulder injury. We've had Clyde Edwards-Alaire miss a big chunk of the season. It didn't look like he was going to be a league winner either way, but we were robbed of seeing, you know, if he was going to make that move. So, I mean, this has been a crazy type of year, and, you know, we get good and bad luck just like everybody else. It looked like we had a chance to have these super teams going into the fantasy playoffs. Probably no longer the case. You mentioned that, it was a rougher week. We knew that the ceiling was going to be lower because so many of the teams are built around Tyreek Hill and James Conner, both of those guys on the bye. You have to go through the bye, so that's, you know, that's all part of it. Jonathan Taylor teams will unfortunately go through the bye during the fantasy finals. And so if you get delivered to the finals and you have a good team, then you've got to be able to overcome that and win. It kind of brings me back around a little bit to this story that I told in the Monday article, where the main event ship chasing team that Ben and I drafted with Pat and Pete, it had been kind of in the lead in points all season, was having fantastic season. And then Kyler Murray gets injured and misses weeks. We never developed a good replacement plan. One of the guys that we have, Taysom Hill, it now looks like he will play, but didn't play during any of that stretch. So we just hemorrhaging points at QB all through that time period and kind of going then into the last weekend. So you and I mean, you kind of told the story. What happened was we had a 51-point lead, and usually those are safe. At the same time, we know that, I mean, one of the things that happens in fantasy is people go out there and score 205, 210 points, and you have your own down week. And so, you know, you've got to really get almost into the, you know, 115 range in terms of a lead to really feel like you have it. And even then, you know, it's possible that you could get hit right at the line. We blew that lead. It ran down through the course of the day. Two of our fantasy nemeses in Adam Thielen and Leonard Fournette directly responsible for getting those. You know, congrats to those guys. That last run by Fournette killed me in a bunch of leagues. I'm like, they're just trying to run out the clock, tackle him there. Or, you know, Fournette go down, but obviously he's not going to go down. Adam Thielen, if Adam Thielen had a decent quarterback, he'd probably have a 30 touchdown season, right? I mean, you can't keep that guy out of the end zone. It was kind of funny within the context of what was going on there, where Adam Thielen scoring touchdowns. And Justin Jefferson, by contrast, I mean, that dude was livid with Kirk Cousins.
Rightly so.
Well, I mean,
I know, like, he's very good at catching the ball, but I don't think he can catch with his feet. I haven't seen him do that yet.
And you know that he's trying. I mean, he's not one of these guys who comes off like a jerk all the time. But when he's wide open for that two-point conversion that they needed, and that ball is at his feet, and then on that final play of the game, again, when he's wide open and Cousins misses him, he's just like, what are you doing? Anyway, Adam Thielen scores touchdowns. We know that happens. We finally lost the final portion of the lead when Justin Tucker racked up a huge number of points as a kicker on Sunday Night Football. Unfortunately, column R, kickers scored basically no points throughout the weekend, which that's never ideal. But the team that we had with Pat and Pete, we had an 85-point lead over, not for first, right? We were looking there basically at, we had a chance to go first, but also a chance to fall out of that. So, I mean, one of the things that was so great about week 12 was that I've never been in a situation quite like this where I had so many chances to finish first, and yet at the same time, there was this nightmare scenario where you could finish out completely and out completely within the context of going in with a super team. But then as Swift and all these guys start going down throughout the weekend, you're like, if I've got guys on the bye and then DeAndre Swift's not going to score any points, then, I mean, this could go. One of the things that we know is that an 85 to 90 point score is very possible if your guys get hurt early in games, right? Very possible. And so you're hoping to fight that off. And then, Colin, this was absolutely crazy, right? So we kind of get to the point, we ended up losing for first, I think, by 5 or 6 points. We weren't able to hold that off. We weren't going to be first. But then throughout the day, I'm like, you know, we could lose this 85-point lead because in the first wave of games, one of the teams chasing us got 44 from Fournette, 18 from Diontae Johnson, 27.5 from Cordarrelle Patterson, more than 24 from T. Higgins. They had the foresight to do our Cole Kmet move for 18, got 22 points from Nick Folk. You know you're living a charmed life when you're getting 22 points from Nick Folk, right? So you got this massive score brewing, and then in the second wave, get almost 30 points from Aaron Rodgers. Kyler, this was one of the all-time great games I've seen Aaron Rodgers play. We've given him a really hard time about all of the shenanigans.
We haven't.
We should get him credit for.
I said we haven't. Sean has. I think we'll just correct that. Sean has given him a hard time.
Colin is beside himself with Aaron Rodgers shenanigans. So we get to this point here, and it's coming down to the last couple of points. In the end, the Rams defense only scored 3, bail us out. Keenan Allen goes off. He's one of 9 players who finished with 10 targets on the week. He goes 785 and 0. The Broncos are able to run out the clock. We don't get a garbage time, or not necessarily a garbage time. We don't get that final drive from the Chargers. The clock runs out. We save the 85-point lead by 3 points. Our not direct opponent, but essentially our opponent scores 206. And Colin, the reason that they didn't catch us was because Christian McCaffrey scored 3.5 points. And again, you know, you think of the different heartbreak that happens across the fantasy world every weekend. And imagine having a 206-point performance when CMC only gives you 3.
Yeah, and, you know, I was actually thinking about that from some of our results, and I was thinking, like, oh, this one is frustrating for us, this one's great for us, and things like that. And I was thinking, like, somebody else is, like, somewhere else in the world, likely in America, saying, that's so unfair. Those guys, like, just pipped me at the post. And we're thinking, like, you know, and it's to take that balance, I guess, try and see it that way. We will talk to Sean about more of the ongoings of Week 12 right after this.
Hey everybody, this is Dave Cabin from the RotoViz flagship podcast, just stopping by to say thank you for listening to RotoViz Radio. We're offering our listeners a special 10% discount when they use the promo code RVRadio2021 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off a 1-year subscription when you use the promo code RVRadio2021. Thanks for listening and keep on tuning in.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You already mentioned Leonard Fournette. I mentioned this big kind of his big day, I guess, for the Buccaneers. 44.1 points in that game against Indianapolis. Sean, I hadn't really thought about it much this season. We've joked a number of occasions about, you know, the one team that's going well for us in our listener leagues is the one with Leonard Fournette. This was the first time where I really thought, because that main event team and lots of my other rosters has Ronald Jones on it, and I did think, how good would these teams be going if we, like, as much as we dislike Leonard Fournette, he is, like, getting all the work in this offense, getting all, so many pass targets. How would we be doing if we had just been all in on Leonard Fournette this year in our time machine?
Well, there's no like parallel universe.
Yeah, there's no alternate timeline. I think that would have happened, is there?
Right. So I mean, you look at all timelines
led to Ronald Jones.
Yeah, all timelines led to Ronald Jones there, and yeah, I mean, you go back through and you want to focus on the things that you did well because you know that you did a lot of things well. If almost all of your teams are winning, the final outcome there was that was able to get four teams with either first or second place in the main event. I think all but one of those either first in record or first in points, and then one that finished third. And so to get five teams into the playoffs, very exciting. And four of those teams are directly into the 500K portion of it, right? So if you finish third, finish fourth, you've actually got a win to get in. So we have one team that has to do that. It's not a particularly strong team, so we'll see if it gets the good luck of, of making it. It was able to win this weekend 109.8 to 109.7. So one of the things that you want to do is choose your opponents wisely. But we know there are going to be some things that we're going to miss on. And one of the important things to do, and you and I have talked about this before on the show. We did a show earlier a couple weeks back about our biggest misses of the season, which things that we thought were things that we would do the same way and which elements we thought were actual mistakes in analysis. Because it can go both ways, right? I think the element here that's interesting is that Fournette has this hybrid ability, and that if a team wanted to use him the way that the Bucks have, they could, if they're willing to give up efficiency or this combination of talent and skill in both elements. And so my thought on it was that you have a much better early down running back. I mean, Ronald Jones is a much better runner. And then you have Gio Bernard, who is probably a much better receiver. Although one of the things that's kind of interesting when you go through and look is that in this 2019 to 2020 time period, Fournette and Bernard were actually two of the very worst receiving backs in the entire NFL. And so maybe there was too much optimism about Bernard actually carving out the role there, right? But so the concern with Fournette would be that he's not very talented and he's going to get squeezed by both guys. So you're losing some of the high value touches in both directions. The flip side of that is that Fournette was the guy who could actually push out both of his competitors and could have this full role and could have this goal line role. He's a big back, again, not very good, but within the context of a good offense. And so one of the things that we had looked at, and Ben and I drafted Najee Harris for one of our main event teams, that's worked out. Although again, at this point, it doesn't really look like he has big ceiling for, you know, a playoff run, a run to half a million or what have you. Leonard Fournette is essentially Harris now in a good offense. And so one of the things that you have to be very aware of when you're drafting running backs is how is the offense going to allow the runner to maximize points? And so one of the things that we had with DeAndre Swift was this idea that, yeah, look, I mean, it's going to cause some problems in terms of goal line touches, but that's not really the thesis for Swift. He's probably one of the top two or three pass-catching running backs in the NFL. He's one of the most talented running backs in the NFL. He can break off these 50-yard touchdown runs, which we have seen on occasion there. And if Swift in the third, fourth round turn can essentially be a bigger, more talented version of Austin Ekeler, then that's a no-brainer. You don't necessarily need the good offense. The bad offense might actually help him. It might fuel some of these reception-based games, and we have seen that at certain points. The flip side of that is that depending on what the running back skill set is, then having a good offense will definitely help. One of the things that's been a little bit surprising this year, and it's really sort of accelerated with the absence of Antonio Brown, is that we've seen the Bucs get in close, and then they've used the running back. And so you have to kind of also understand the trends for the different teams. And we know that one of the things that's come out of the analytics in the past several years and has been really pretty definitive is that you have these teams down by the goal line. The most effective red zone teams are the ones who can run, right? And if you hand off there, if you have a running back who can score, we've seen that with the Arizona Cardinals the last several seasons, even when they had Kenyon Drake, who has a lot of limitations, going to score a lot of goal line and red zone touchdowns because of how Arizona runs their offense in there. Well, with the Buccaneers being high powered, with them giving Fournette a lot of chances, I mean, this one was sort of heartbreaking in some of those ways where, you know, needed some Tom Brady points for one of those other leagues. And so when he has that sneak early and doesn't quite get in, you're like, oh, we're going to get Leonard Fournette on this next play. And that's going to be a huge swing of points. Right. So you win some, you lose some there. It'll be interesting to see if Antonio Brown comes back, what they're able to do. I mean, it may be a thing where they just get down into the goal line handoff area even more often. And so right now, Leonard Fournette looks like the guy who could win you fantasy titles. And sort of the contrast with Cordarrelle Patterson is that while Patterson has magically been able to score touchdowns, you have to be skeptical about that with how bad the Falcons offense is. Now, when he's back, part of it, it's a lot different than the game, you know, where he's not there. When we saw when they play without him that, I mean, they can't do anything at all, right? Having that dynamic hybrid running back really changes what your offense can do. And so one of the things that we've seen too in terms of NFL trends is this ability of running backs who are elite receivers to change offenses in a way that sort of a run heavy back cannot. But it's been exciting to watch these guys. I know that you have a lot of Patterson. That's got to be exciting for you as you sort of go through. One of the things that was kind of interesting, I noticed last night that a bunch of the best ball teams that Blair and I drafted have moved into first place now with Antonio Gibson scoring. And so to have a high percentage of best ball teams in first place is a lot of fun. Again, I mean, it's been this just hilarious contrast between how our teams are doing in the listener leagues, where we were pushed off of really anything that the tools tell us to do, right? I mean, Mike Beers built us these amazing best ball tools. They have the best ball workshop. And we have the roster construction explorers, and the listeners were just too good. They pushed us off of a lot of these positions. In the leagues where that was not the case, the intel from the RCEs has been fantastic and has again sort of fueled, I wouldn't say easy wins. I mean, it's never an easy win in fantasy. And you're looking at it and you're like, our guys have to stay healthy. You look at the best ball teams that are at the top, you look at the best ball teams at the bottom, very different results in terms of health, but the roster construction explorers give you this huge advantage. I mean, you can basically double the win rate that you would otherwise get if you follow the recommendation of those tools.
Yeah, and actually it's a good thing to bring up. On Saturday's show this week, we have got a listener question where they've submitted a team which has been, I would say, plagued, maybe is a word to use, with injuries throughout that team. But using the tools, as you mentioned, it's a team that's actually still competing, even with a number of those guys that they drafted in the first 10 rounds being out, but also because they have gone with, you know, a more favorable roster construction based on the tools has worked out quite well. So we'll be reviewing that a little bit on Saturday show. But Sean, I guess the other part just to mention here is it was really a week where injuries occur every week, but this week you know, some of the superstars we were hoping to see have even guys that aren't on a lot of our rosters this year, unless you had early picks, you won't have Christian McCaffrey, but your dynasty rosters may have. Then we also had Dalvin Cook. You mentioned Debo Samuel. You had DeAndre Swift. There's just a lot of injuries racking up this week. And then when it goes into, I guess, the combined total of how the season has gone, we've had Barkley miss quite a chunk of the season with injury. We have had Alvin Kamara miss the last three games with injury. So lots of injuries, not just at the running back position, but the whole league in general. Unfortunately, that then is going in towards those fantasy rosters. So first, we hope the players are, you know, able to stay healthy and get back, recover soon. But, you know, some of those can be longer terms, like McCaffrey out for the rest of the season. Dalvin Cook was in a lot of pain with that injury. And it's always interesting sometimes to try and perceive injuries based on immediate reactions. We had DeAndre Swift, who on Thursday during the day went down, and looked like pretty much instantly he's out of this game. He's not going to play on after that. But then we have, you know, Debo Samuel, who is like on the sideline looking very happy, you know, being like the water boy spraying water bottles into his teammates' mouths and things like that. So it's hard to know then, but it looks like he's going to be out for 2 weeks. But it felt like an injury where he knew, like, he has done that probably before, and he's like, well, that's a tweak and that's going to take a bit of time to heal. So they played that one probably quite sensibly rather than, you know, putting him out there and then aggravating it. But the other part with injuries, Sean, sometimes for especially our fantasy teams, is injury luck. And, you know, we have Swift and we have Samuel, who picked up injuries this week on that main event team. Obviously, we want to go ahead, win that main event league championship, but I guess then there's also the luck of we don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks, and there's a possibility come those 3 weeks that them two guys could potentially be back and, you know, and pretty healthy. I know you mentioned we never know when they come back if it's 100% healed or if they're going to get injured again, you know, so on and so forth. But it can sometimes work out as well, I guess, in your favor. So it's going to be interesting to see how the injuries will play out. We just have to try and eke through these couple of weeks. There's some leagues where I picked up some of those injuries and I went in early today just to kind of look at lineups and that. And those leagues where you do have Swift, and then you also have the week 13 bye with, you know, Rodgers and Adams and some leagues and that. I have one league, a super flex league, where I was like, oh, Rodgers is out this week, I'll just, you know, switch him out for another option, a quarterback. The other main option of quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill. So he's out this week as well, week 13 bye as well for the Titans. So there's some scenarios like that. There's leagues where AJ Dillon's out and you're like, oh, AJ Dillon's out, who will I put in? Christian McCaffrey's injured now, so, you know, I might put in Chubba Hubbard. The Panthers are on bye in week 13. So there's a lot of leagues like that where you're kind of trying to figure out where you're going to fill in those spots, but hopefully we can patch it together this week anyway, to see how we get on, if we can advance into those championship rounds over at the FFPC. It's all to play for then, as you say. Some weeks it's, well, almost choosing those opponents correctly.
It is. I mean, it's harder to choose your opponent correctly in the semifinals.
Yeah, well, that's also hard.
Usually they're better, but, you know, still, one of you look at the other three teams, there's always a chance that two of them will score 180 and one of them will score 105 because they get unlucky. You want that one. So hopefully we'll get that kind of luck. There's always luck a part of it. And I mentioned in the article, there was, as watching one of the later episodes or one of the later seasons of Archer, which aren't as strong, obviously, as the early one, but they're in his dreamscape and out there in, you know, so he has the multiple seasons where he's in a coma. And so then they're very fanciful tales of things that are going on. So they're, you know, basically out in space doing different things. And he's getting criticized for using up all his air when they're out on one of the planets. And that, you know, if he runs out, then obviously he will suffocate to death. And he tells Lana that we'll cross that bridge when we never get to it, because it doesn't exist. Things tend to work out for Sterling Archer. They tend to work out for RVOT and fantasy because we're lucky, because we enjoy what's going on either way, and because we build the deep teams column. Every time during the draft, people say, how are you going to play that guy? Do you have a lot of teams this week where you're like, I've got a top 10 player and I don't know how to work him into the lineup?
This week, I feel like less than I did last week, because just some of the injuries that picked up. If we had a situation where Debo was healthy this week, I do think that main event team would have been interesting, because we had Tyreek Hill on the bye last week. I guess we would have took him in for one of those. We did start two tight ends last week, but there's some teams like that where there is a lot of depth, but unfortunately that depth is getting kind of chipped away at. But the key is the depth is there that allows you to still start players that you're confident in having those points, rather than, you know, putting yourself in a predicament where you're kind of grasping at straws. So I do think that having that depth throughout the season has allowed us to get into this particular position across those rosters. And you mentioned it with the tools, and we talk a lot about roster construction, but I think that's a huge part of it, is being able to cope with those injuries, because we all know those inevitable injuries are going to happen. Sean, before we do wrap up, the other thing you did touch on that I wanted to hit on today's show was, you mentioned in the article, you mentioned a moment ago about Aaron Rodgers and his performances. Well, you mentioned this particular performance, but over the last couple of weeks, I think this Packers offense has started to really evolve. I mentioned the injuries as well. I didn't mention Aaron Jones, who returned from his injury, which I thought they would have probably held him out to after the bye, which is this week. He was kind of limited in the performance. Big game from AJ Dillon and that kind of opportunity, but the Packers offense really rounded into shape, a lot more efficient in terms of how they're playing. And we talked about it a number of times this offseason and into the season, and MVS has been injured for a good portion of the season, but I do think his threat really does start to open things up for the Packers. But you mentioned in the article that Rodgers is in the midst of another MVP season. I think it's going to be tricky for him with the COVID scenario that did take place, I think, in terms of votes, maybe, to get him over the line, unless he just plays incredible from here on out. But there's nobody really putting themselves into that MVP conversation. So I think he's definitely in there, but I think that could be something that's, you know, a factor that holds him out. But he has rolled this season in terms of a quarterback one. I often say that he's, you know, a better real-life quarterback than fantasy quarterback. But this season so far, He said over 50% of his games now after this past week as a wide or QB1, sorry. And he's only had one game, which was week one, where he's been less than a QB2. Been very efficient, but this offense and Davante Adams, I think, is going to obviously continue to play a major role in it. But I think those teams with, you know, Rodgers, Adams, Stacks, if they can get through this week in terms of those best ball tournaments, and I think if you have them in season long, I think those teams are going to play a huge part down the stretch, because I think the Packers are going to continue to put up points. I was messaging Pat Fitzmaurice, who's a good buddy of mine as well, fellow Packers fan. Don't know if I should say this out loud, but I did say to him that anything less than the one seed at this point feels like it's going to be a disappointment for this Packers season. And I think if they get the one seed, they need to get over that NFC hump. It's very hard to get back to championship games. The Packers have done it back-to-back years, got annihilated by the 49ers one time, and then obviously lost last year to the Buccaneers. But feels like they're in a position now where they should be pushing on. But I do think the Packers players for those on fantasy rosters are gonna really help here over the next 5 or 6 weeks in terms of playoff points.
Well, Colin, talking about the MVP, obviously last year it should have been Patrick Mahomes, but...
Strongly disagree, but continue.
the best player on the best team is the MVP, right? And so, I mean, that looks like James Conner right now.
Yeah, well, he's at the minute, he's lined up to be the fantasy MVP at the moment. But yeah, it was interesting mentioning James Conner. I know we talk about him probably more than we should, but at this point, he has had enough sustained success over the season that deserves to be mentioned, even though he didn't play this week with the bye week. But it was interesting, a number of the rosters that I have dipped from first place into second place. So you mentioned the teams there, but being honest, and I've said it all season long, so much of my teams are relying on those James Conner points, so not a surprise there. So we'll see that bounce back this week moving forward. But
you can probably still get some pretty good odds on James Conner as the NFL MVP if you want to bet in that direction.
I also don't think that's going to happen, so I'll keep my money for for that purpose. But hopefully he brings me some of those best ball checks at the end of the season. But Sean, I honestly do think that Rodgers will be the best player at the end of the season, but I think there'll be some way that he doesn't get the MVP based on the narrative around it is probably what's going to happen. But some of the throws he made this past week, you mentioned again the article, you know, in terms of breaking the laws of physics, there's just some of the plays and, you know, just unbelievable stuff. It's a joy to watch him. Sometimes I feel like it's always going to be this with football players when they're playing, but it feels as a Packers fan like it's like sand running through an hourglass, and you know that at the end of the season he's probably heading somewhere else. So the time's ticking down, so hopefully it ends up successfully for the team. But we'll leave it there, Sean, for today's show. We'll be back again on Thursday with another one. We'll have one on Saturday as well, just to let the listeners know, because I know there's a big crossover between this and Stealing Bananas. Sean and Ben had their Sunday recap show that came out on Monday. Head on back and listen to that if you haven't already checked it. There will be a slightly alternate schedule throughout the rest of December and into the off season with Stealing Bananas. It will likely continue to be two shows a week, and that will mean that the recap show will not take place, with the rest of the schedule will stay pretty much the same. I would highly recommend to subscribe to the Stealing Bananas podcast feed. That way you get all the shows once they come out, get to listen to them instantly. And that will be my recommendation there, to get them as soon as possible, because they are must listen every single time. And with that, that is today's show. Hopefully you will join us again on Thursday. If you are a podcast listener and haven't signed up for a RotoViz NFL pass, we touched on some of the tools today. Of course, you can get access to all of that and get yourself a 10% bonus with the code RVRadio2021 at checkout, or you can go to rotoviz.com/podcast for more information. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Over to Marlin. My co-host is Sean Siegel. And of course, check out Sean's work up on rotoviz.com, including the piece we talked through on today's show. And until we're back on Thursday, have a good one.
Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.